Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuing to discuss Vishnu Sahasranam, name 827, as Parashara Bhatta divides the names, although different commentators divide it differently. The name is not a well-known one. Some of the names in Vishnu Sahasranam will be names that commonly given names, such as Keshava. So there are many men in India known by the name of Keshava or Krishna. But this is one of the names that it's not given to others. We could say, at least from our position here in this material world, it's somewhat obscure name. Niyagrodho Dumbara. Apart from Parashara Bhatta and his followers, those who comment in the Sri Sampradaya after him, the other commentators take it as two names, Niyagrodha and Udumbara. He combines the two together, so we'll do that also. All the commentators give complex grammatical interpretations to find different meanings in these names. One by one, let's take them one by one, and then we can, as Parashara Bhatta does, combine them into one name. So first, Niyagrodha means, as Parashara Bhatta explains it, he who is controlled by them standing below, bowing to him with folded hands. Anjali, folded hands. Anjali paramamudrakshipram deva prasadini. He quotes from Vishnu Dharmotara that when the Lord sees anyone folding their hands in supplication to him, he immediately becomes pleased. But we didn't get the part about, you have to go through all the complex grammatical extrapolations to understand how that means that he is controlled by those who stand below. Generally, someone who stands below in supplication, it's understood they are they're taking the inferior position, which is, of course, suitable in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's understood that who is being prayed to is superior to and controls those who pray. But that is an extraordinary characteristic of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that although he is the Supreme Controller, he is controlled in some respects by those who pray to him, to those who take an inferior position, those who recognize their inferior position. Alabanda, Yamuna Acharya, in his Stotra Ratna, he's quoted here by another Sri Vaishnav commentator, V.V. Ramanujan, Tvadangrimudishya kadapi kenachit yata tata vapi sakrit kritonjali tadaiva mushnatya shubhanya sheshata shubhani pushnati najatu hiyate. If anyone worships your lotus feet, even once, with folded hands, for whatever reason, Yamuna Acharya says, at that very moment, by the grace of Bhagavan, although he doesn't say that, that's understood. All his sins of that person are driven out. And unlimited auspiciousness is immediately that person receives. Auspiciousness, you have to accumulate it, right? Krita punya punjaha is said of the cowherd boys, how they were playing with Krishna. They must have accumulated heaps of pious credits. But immediately one gets this. So what does it mean they accumulated heaps of pious credits? If by even once praying to him, even not in full devotion, it may be some mixed motive, one gets all auspiciousness. So what does it mean that the cowherd boys, they accumulated heaps of pious credit? Well, it's similar to the Aho Bhatasvapachato Gariyan Yajivagre Vartade Nama Tubyam Tepos Tapas Teju Huvu Sasnaraya Brahmanucha Nama Gurnanti Yete. It's similar to this statement of Devahuti addressing her son Kapila, that how wonderful it is that even persons who are born in families of dog eaters, if your name is always on their tongue, then it's understood that they have performed all austerities, they've visited all holy places of pilgrimage, studied all the Vedas, done all austerities, taken bath in all the holy places. It's already done. In other words, you take the, instead of going, walking up the building to the 150th floor, and get the elevator and go right away. It's already surpassed, already done. In this regard, V.V. Ramanujan, this is come from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, I remember. He gives the instance of Krishna being tied to the mortar by Yashoda. It's an example of the Supreme Lord being subservient to his devotee's affection, but Yashoda doesn't pray to Krishna. Previously, Drona Dhara, they were doing, but she doesn't pray to him. She can't imagine doing that. Now for a typically Madhva Sampradaya explanation. Nyak means it's a verb. He sees that all others are lower to him, much, much lower than him. So it's a really Madhva Sampradaya explanation. He sees and he has grown very high. Nyak Rodaha, he's gone very, very high. That means he is Sarvotama, Hari Sarvotama. He is above all others. And for Udambara, he has surpassed. That will come in the explanation later on. So, he who controls those below him. Same, Satyadeva Vashishta, he controls those below, but he doesn't add the part because they are praying to him. Shankaracharya gives a similar understanding as we just read from the Madhva Sampradaya. He is primordial, he is the original, and he is above all. Satya Sandha Yati Raj of the Madhva Sampradaya. He breaks it up as Nyag Roha, as Shankaracharya does. So he does the same grammatical breakup, but he explains it in a different way. He takes Ru, from which the Roha comes, he takes this to mean to grow. And he explains that enough. He explains that this name means he makes all beings obey him, but he also grows them up or develops them. So he's a benevolent controller. Sarvani Bhutani Nyakritya Rohati Vardata Iti. Yeah. So everyone's under his control and he makes them flourish. In the Tamil translation of Shankara's commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranam, published from Kamakoti, it says Kamakoti Koshasthanam. You ever heard that before? Koshasthanam, and really, it's usually. Anyway, that's what they say. They say this name signifies that they all are below him, and he envelops them with him with his Maya and veils them behind his Maya. Another meaning, Niyagrota refers to the banyan tree, and when you get to the banyan tree, then you could have a lot of discussion in how analogous to Vishnu. But I'm not going to get into that because that's the next name, Ashvata. Is a name of Vishnu also. Ashvata Sarva Vrikshanam. Anyway, that's the next name. But here, specifically, because the same entity can have different words to describe it in Sanskrit. Just like Vriksha means tree, that which is suitable to be cut. So that's one quality which defines as a tree. And a tree, another word is padapa, who drinks through his leg. So that's another meaning. So it comes to the same thing, but there are different words with different derivations. So for Niyagrota, it's different derivation to Ashvata. But the word means, or it's interpreted this way, it grows up, which trees generally do, but it also grows down. And trees also grow down in their roots, but it has the specific quality of growing up, and having grown up, it starts to grow down again from the branches. The roots come down. Banyan trees in America? In Hawaii, southern Florida. Okay. Because it's so strongly rooted, it has so many roots, it's very stable. So that's analogous to Lord Sri Hari. He's firmly rooted in one place, but extends in all directions. All over the universe. You see a banyan tree. It extends so far. Nanta na chadiya nascha sampratishtaha. Krishna says in Gita that you can't really say where the banyan tree begins or where it ends or where it's established. So in the same way, Krishna, he is extended in all the universe. He's above all, but still he's everywhere. And gets, even when the living beings go down, he accompanies them, and he's gets into everyone and everything, knows everything that's going on. He's at the top, but at the same time, he's extended everywhere. Another meaning given by... Actually, all these meanings could be discussed more and more and more and more. Satyadeva Vashishta, another meaning he gives. He is the one who is approached by persons for various benefits that they desire. Now, there may be many persons who are approached in such a way are probably from time to time Yogindra Prabhu goes to some local administrator in the government of Louisiana and asks for some benefit, something like that, and permit, yeah. And then time to time devotees come to you looking for some benefit, so in this way, benefit or permission to do something, this, that. So in this way there's a hierarchy of Ishwaras, but he's the ultimate one. And when nothing else works, when the local sheriff or whatever it is doesn't give the permit, then you jump over his head and go to Krishna, right? Then you pray, Krishna, can you do something about this, Krishna? Or you might go to some higher. Above the sheriff is the marshal, is it? Something like that? Yeah. So you can go higher and higher and higher. And then the ultimate resort is Krishna. Or you can go to him right away, right at the beginning. But you don't want to bother him with every little thing, do you? You have to. He's given you some service to do in this world also. So you don't have to bother him for everything. Not that he's bothered, but he's got other things to do, like dancing with Radharani. So, looking back at the previous two names, or one name, which we discussed yesterday, can anyone remember? Dawud Nusay, you're too bright. And you're Indian also, which means that it's easy because you know all the words anyway. It's not a foreign language for you. Anyone else? Shatrujit. And then the next, Shatru Tapanaha, the defeater of the enemies and the scorcher of the enemies. And particularly the commentators describe that to mean he destroys the enemies of his devotees. So Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary on this name, takes this Niyagrodha to mean exactly the same thing in a general way, because for the two names previously he described them in a specific way, that Shatrujit, he destroyed the enemies of Shutadev, who was a Brahmana, didn't have any enemies, but the internal enemies of lust, greed, anger, and so he destroyed that. And Shatru Tapana, the same thing in relation to Baholashva, who had, as a king, had external enemies and rivals. And here Baladev Vidyabhushan explains those two names in a general way. Niyagrodha means he who Niyagrodha means Shatrujit Shatru Tapanaha, who subjugates the enemies of his devotees and punishes them. And it's all grammatical explanation. Niyak Kritya Runadhi Nirye Nikshipati Swabhakta Drohina Iti Niyag Rodaha. This is the meaning of the name Niyagrodha, with the root used avarane, which generally means to cover, but here he gives it as to oppose or to oppress, and niyak krityo, subjugating. But I'm just reading that out to give some idea of the Sanskrit and this and that. But I won't read that every time, because we don't understand it, do we? After humiliating those who are hostile towards his devotees, he locks them up in hell. We also have hellfire and brimstone in the Vaishnava Sampradaya. There's nothing lacking. Everything in other religions. There's also Radha and Krishna, which is not seen elsewhere. Then, he We had one definition given. Those who, he is the one who is prayed to for various benefits. But a similar explanation is given, but more in the line of pure devotion. This is given by Krishna Datta Bharadvaj. He is desired in the heart by those who worship him. And that will happen. Even for those who worship him for some material benefit, the result will be that because Krishna is Krishna, he's all attractive, that those who start to worship him, they'll become so attracted that a prime example is Dhruva Maharaj, who approached Krishna for a material benefit and at the end said, Swamin kritato smi varang nayache. I'm just seeing you. I'm completely fulfilled. And that's, praying for some kingdom. I don't want that anymore. I only want you. Niyagrodha. Sita describes Ram to Ravana. Ravana comes and tells Sita what a great guy he is and how useless Ram is and how Sita would be better off forgetting that jungle wanderer and become his wife. And she said to him, I follow Sri Ram. He is endowed with all auspicious qualities, indirectly saying, you are not. He is a Nigrodha Parimandala. He pursues truthfulness and is distinguished. So the commentators describe that. It's from Valmiki Ramayana. Niyagrodha Parimandala indicates that Ram was large like a banyan tree. But then Ravana is also large. So what's the difference? But large, not only in his bodily form, but in his whole personality. A banyan tree has so many branches and so many birds and insects and various bees and so many living beings take shelter of that banyan tree. And sometimes the rishis also like to go there. So in the same way, Lord Ramachandra, he is the one to whom all others, if they're intelligent, not like Ravana, go for shelter. He is very pleasing. He's just like a banyan tree. It's if you go under a banyan tree in the summer, you'll immediately feel, very cool and nice. And in the winter, that will protect from wind and cold. So in this way, Lord Rama is always giving protection and pleasure to those who take shelter in him. To get the benefit of the banyan tree, you have to go under the banyan tree and then to get the warmth or the coolness. And in the same way, one has to take shelter of Lord Rama. Udumbara. It's the next word. Parasha Bhatta. Sarva gunai udgatam ambaram param dhamasya iti Udumbara. He who has as his supreme abode Vaikuntha. Then why is that abode supreme? It's not given directly by Parashara Bhatta, but it's understood and explained by followers in his sampradaya. Why is Vaikuntha supreme? What do you think they say? Just like Vigata Kunta, without anxiety. But just like we say, why is Vrindavan the best place? It's sweetness. Radha Padankita dham, jaranam Vrindavan, because it's marked by the lotus feet of Radharani. So the Sri Vaishnavas say Vaikuntha is the best place. Well, it's the place of Narayana. No. It's the place of Lakshmi. She's the Griharani. And he's there because she's there. That's the idea. It rises. Why Vaikuntha is on top? Well, it rises above by its qualities. It's above the material world. They look up to. Yeah. That's Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Suryo. The saintly people, they look up to the lotus feet of Narayana in Vaikuntha. Because, after all, there's some etiquette to be followed. You shouldn't directly look at his wife, but it's understood by those who are on the inside that he likes her. That's why he's there. So Baladev Vidyabhushan gives a similar understanding, but derived in a different grammatical way, come to the same conclusion. His spiritual sky is manifested with all the qualities, and it's the highest because it's above the material nature, and putting all these things together, Udumbara brings his devotees to the supreme abode. Shankara, in his commentary, Shankaracharya says he is above the sky. He's above sky. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada translates akash as sky. So here sky means the sky, the blue sky. You see the blue, and also means the akash, the universal sky, or ether sometimes is translated, the space in which everything exists. So that is the most subtle of tactile elements, or perceptible, palpable elements. And he transcends that also. He gives the explanation, or following commentators give the explanation, that Narayana is the source out of which everything has emerged, so he must be the source of even the subtlest thing, the space, because the cause is always subtler than the effect. Therefore, Narayana is the essential principle of everything, extrapolating this meaning. Then Shankaracharya gives another meaning for Udumbara. It's all quite complex because urk, there's a word urk which means food, and then when it's mixed with other words, then according to grammatical rules, it comes out as ud. And therefore, he gives the meaning as he who nourishes the world in the form of food, and he quotes from the Taittiriya Brahmana in this regard, Ugva anad yad udumbaram, who in the form of food he nourishes the world. He nourishes all living beings, supplying all the living beings with their appropriate food. Without food, no one lives, grows, develops. Anna Brahma, that's one of the, five koshas, the first is, or coverings, the first is Anna, food, so that's also a name of Vishnu, Anna. We have in Udupi, where they distribute the prasad twice a day, they have everything outside. Anna Brahma, food is God, that's one way of translating it, food is God. And for a hungry man, someone who's habitually hungry, they can understand what that means. The food is the fundamental nourisher of all. Anad bhavanti bhutani. All living beings subsist on food. So another way to understand this is he is the fundamental nourisher of all living beings. The mother nourishes the child. Krishna nourishes the mother. The whole universe is going on by Krishna. Then, yet another meaning, Satyadeva Vashishta. You see, every udumbara, every syllable can be interpreted in different ways and then combined in different ways. But in every case, the commentators, it's not just that they're doing fancy grammatical jugglery, but they find a quote from Shastra to support it, which is quite a feat. That means that the boys, they start to learn the Vedas, they learn it, and then they remember it, and then they understand it, and then they explain so many things from it. So Satyadeva Vashishta takes the root am to mean shabda, and udumbara as one who has the best of sounds, the Vedas, as his very form. Uchai sarvata utamo veda rupa shabdo yasya sa udumbara sarveshvaro vishnuhu. Based on the same root, Satyadeva Vashishta gives another meaning, that he who is praised by the best of sounds. Kirtan, he is praised by kirtan. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he would often say that kirtan means Krishna kirtan. Sometimes people talk about doing Kali kirtan or Sai kirtan. Oh yeah, I heard of Sai kirtan. Sai, you know, we're talking about Sai Baba. In the West, anyway, let's not talk about Sai Baba. I'm just going to say that this Jimi Hendrix hairstyle type, he's somewhat known, but the one in India who's most popular is hardly known. Good for them. They don't know yet, but it's in the age of interconnectivity. No doubt there'll be some. Anyway, Hare Krishna. So he is praised by the best of sounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhajans, Nam Kirtan. Then, Udumbaram. So, the best. And ambaram means, one of the meanings is dress, is with the clothes he wears. So he's famous, one of the well-known names, or better-known names of Krishna is Pitambara, who wears yellow dress. So that's another meaning of udambara. He has got the best form of dressing. So there we have two sets of meanings for Niyagrodha and Udumbara. So why does Parashara Bhatta make it as one name? Well, his explanation for Niyagrodha is that Bhagawan is the one who is subservient to his devotees who stand before him with folded hands. And for Udumbara, he gives the explanation that he who has the supreme abode as his, resplendent with Lakshmi and everything that is magnificent. So now, why he combines them as one name, so that the explanation is, even though he is that one and one only who is supreme and who has everything that is supreme, he is worshipped by the highest of the gods, but he's easily supplicated. This is a typical Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. They always, he's the greatest, but he's so kind to his devotees. So even though he's so high, just if someone comes and stands in front of him with folded hands, he becomes very easily available to them, and then he likes to give them the abode of Vaikuntha. That's how he combines the two. This is his the two qualities which Parashara Bhatta brings out again and again and again in his explanations of these names are the Supreme Lord Soshilyam, his glorious qualities, and his Solabhyam, how he's so easily available to his devotees. Whereas Shankaracharya, he brings out more the majesty and greatness of the Supreme Lord. The name of Parashara Bhatta's commentary is Bhagavad Guna Darpanam, a mirror to reflect the qualities of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. That's that. Tomorrow, Krishna willing, we'll go through Ashvata, which means banyan, among other things. Hare Krishna. Are you going to give a mic over there?
Why does Dr. Acharya
please
comment like a Vaishnava? Why does
Shankaracharya comment like a Vaishnava? Different meanings can be given for that. One reason is because he is a Vaishnava, ultimately. Another thing is that he also encouraged bhakti. And another thing is that his followers tend to, with all their genius, they manage to interpret what he says in an impersonal way, in many cases. But he also encourages bhakti, and that he's considered the savior of Hinduism. And his idea is, but if you see what his philosophy is impersonal, there's no doubt about it. His emphasis on tattvamasi, interpreted in you are that, thou art thee art thou, or something like that. Pragyanam Brahma, the consciousness is God, and so on. His concentration on that. But he said that this path can be followed not by everyone. You have to actually, to be a true follower of Shankara or to take up that impersonal path, you're supposed to be a sannyasi. It's not meant for others. And to be a sannyasi, you have to be born in a Brahmana family. So for others, he encouraged deity worship, panchopasana, worship of different gods, and he, apart from this Vishnu Sahasranam, he's commented on in a devotional way. He has prayers to Krishna, he's commented in prayers for the goddess Durga, Narasimha. So he encourages that also. And that's what his followers say. Yeah. If you go to these Shankaracharyas in India, even now his disciplic descendants, one of them just died, in the Swarupananda Saraswati, the Pitadipati of Dwaraka and Badrinath. So if you go to them, they say, oh, it's very good what you're doing, spreading the holy name all over the world, very good. And they mean it. They really think it's very good, because they think it's good for people on the lower level. And then after many lives, Bahunam Janmanam Ante, Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate, Mama Aikyam they after many, many lives, Gyanavan Mam, what would you say? Aikyate. They become one with me. That's what they think. They do. No, you'd say, Bahunam Janmanamante Bhaktiman Mam Praveshate. They enter. Well, it's something like that is said, isn't it, in Gita? Bhakti amama vijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Tato mang tatvato gyata vishate tadanantaram. If you take vishate tadanantaram, they enter into the eternal and supreme. That's what it literally means. Whoops. We made a mistake in Bhagavad Gita. But then you have to see the whole context of Bhagavad Gita, not just take one line, because it's Bhagavad Gita wasn't meant for Mayavadi, it was meant for Arjuna, right? Because you're my devotee, because you're bhaktosime sakacheti. But anyway, the Mayavadis, their interpretation is very horrible. They say, as for Arjuna, yeah, he became bewildered because, after all, he's only a devotee, he's not on the highest level, and so on and so on. He's a kshatriya, he's not a brahmana, and he's a grihastha, he's not a sannyasi, and blah, 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 and go on and on and on. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarana. Ah. Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah, ask. All right, whatever. The mic's with you.
Maharaj, at the beginning you were mentioning, if I heard correctly, that the Lord was being said to reciprocate with those who have a bank account of piety. And I was wondering if you could offer some clarification.
No, specifically, they attain. I'd mentioned that, which Srila Prabhupada often mentioned, you know very well, because you've read his books and heard his lectures, about the cowherd boys. How are they able to play with Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada often quotes that, krita punya punjaha, that they had accumulated heaps of piety, which literally means. And I was discussing that.
Okay, so I was wondering if you could offer clarification on this point of piety, because I feel like it's something that's commonly misunderstood, that pious activities, you know.
Well, Bhaktiram Thakur analyzes that, doesn't he? He says the bhoganmukhi punya or sukriti, the mokshanmukhi sukriti, and the bhaktiunmukhi sukriti. So a lot depends on not only on what you're doing, but on your motive. It's just like we see great kings like Prithu Maharaj performed sacrifices, which are generally performed with the idea of enhancing the piety of the king and his subjects for the welfare of the kingdom and for going to the heavenly planets. But he did it for the pleasure of Vishnu. So different people participating may have got different results according to their attitude, but because he was the king and his attitude was devotional, so everyone was blessed with devotion. But the wonderful thing about the Varnashram system is that you can't avoid Vishnu. In the yagya means the results of everything everyone has done for so many months is brought together, or years is brought together and offered. And yagyo vai Vishnuhu. Vishnu is the yagya. And there's so many names will come up, still to come in Vishnu Sahasranam. He's yagya book, the enjoyer of the yagya, yagya pati, the master of the yagya. So he is the ultimate. And the yagyas are all offered. You can't have a proper yagya without Shalagram present. Shalagram Shila. So the Varnashram system brings everyone toward Vishnu. So even if one is performing pious activities with another motive, still there's a touch, there's at least a touch of Vishnu Bhakti. And of course we learn in Gita that even the demons, they sometimes perform sacrifices. Right, that we were saying, Adhyo bijanavanasmi konyosti sadrishang maya yakshe dasyami modisya ityagyana vimohitaha. Yajante nama yagyaste. Yajante, yeah, getting mixed up there. Yajante nama yagyas. They perform sacrifices in name only, the demons. But still there's some touch of Vishnu. So they have to suffer from being demons, but still there's some. So it's still better to be, if you're going to be a demon, still better to be a demon in India. because there's more, is Krishna consciousness in the atmosphere. I'm going to go to Krishnanagar and kill my enemy. And you say, you have to say Krishna when you say Krishnanagar. Can't avoid. So some touch is there. Automatically one accrues piety by being in the Vedic culture. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, in explaining the name of Nirgrodha, you explained, quoting the commentators, that Vishnu has these wonderful qualities, he's greatest, but then he's very, kind and merciful and easily accessible. For Udumbara also, in the end you stated a similar thing.
Well, there are different explanations by different commentators of both names. There's no redundancy in as much as one commentator may describe the name Udumbara to be synonymous or to that of an explanation of Nirgrodha by another commentator. So in their own commentary there's no redundancy. But if you combine it, it might look like that. And of course many of the names have overlapping meanings. But the commentators they carefully show that none of the names are redundant. Even when the same name is repeated, some of the names are repeated twice, three times, one of the names, I can't remember which, comes up four times. But if you separate it out, because you can join it with other names also, so it's all a little complex. Not very complex, but a little bit, yeah.
In the scriptures, like you said, in the Sri Vaishnavas, they say that Narayana is supreme and we say that Krishna is supreme. So it's based on scripture, right? We know from Srimad
Bhagavatam. Yeah, it's all based on scripture. So but then there's understanding and interpretation of scripture. And what you take to be the supreme scripture, we take Sri... Jiva Goswami has established that Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate shastra, but not everyone accepts that. It's not... Shruti, the Vedas are considered the... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says that. What is that? Can't remember exactly. But anyway, he also agrees when he's talking with the Mayavadis of Varanasi that Shruti is the topmost praman. But then Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the Puranas, so it's considered Smriti. But then Jiva Goswami establishes that it's actually Shruti and it's the Akila Shruti Saram. It's the essence of all the Shrutis.
Which literature does he establish that in? Which one of his literatures does he establish?
Tattva Sandarbha. At the beginning of his Sandarbhas, the first is establishing on what basis are we going to... On what basis are we going to discuss the rest of what I'm going to discuss? And it's on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the whole Tattva Sandarbha establishes that we have to accept Srimad Bhagavatam as supreme. And then he goes on from there.
At the schools of thought, there have been some attempt to
refute. Different schools will accept different shastras as all the Vedanta schools accept Vedanta as supreme. That means the Shankarites and the Sri Vaishnav, Madhva, and we also, but we'd say that to understand Vedanta, you have to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise you can't understand it properly. It's the best commentary. So attempts to refute it, of course, there'll be different opinions, different outlooks. So first of all, what shastra do you accept as supreme, and then how do you interpret it? Because Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhva, they all accept Vedanta Darshan, I mean the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutras as supreme, but then they interpret it in very, very different ways. Some of the things they interpret the same. But the core understanding is different. Very, very different. And even they'll trace the aphorisms or the sutras to the same statement. All the Vedanta sutras, they all are linked to Vedanta, to the Upanishads. And then different commentators will take different parts of the Upanishads to describe different sutras. But even those who are opposed to each other, they may take the same section of the Upanishads, but explain it in a different way. Just let's say, Janmadhyasa Yataha. All the commentators link that to Yatova imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayatya bisang vishanti tad vijigyasasva tat brahmeti. So that's the first, that covers the first two sutras, or the first two sutras. Tad brahma, atato brahma jignasa. This is brahma, so this is to be inquired about. This is Taittiriya Upanishad. And then what is Brahma? Janmadhyasya yataha. So Janmadhyasya yataha is an explanation of, or a summation of, yatova imani. That from, because it's the same word in Sanskrit, and then you get different interpretation. That from which everything emanates, that in which everything exists, and that into which everything ultimately enters, that is the proper subject of inquiry, that is Brahma. So all the commentators, without every one of them, they refer back to this statement, but then how they go on to explain it, that's only the beginning. What is the nature of Brahma? They'll explain as they go on. And we're going to have all this stuff also. This will all come out. If Krishna consciousness should be spread so widely, and then all the Mayavad and Sahajya, as we're already seeing, Sahajya, not so much. Well, Sahajya, yeah. Mayavad, yeah. But nothing like real Mayavad. So that's all coming. And then you have to know all these things to refute and discuss all these things. It's not for everyone. That's why should be a class of brahmanas who are absorbed in shastra.
Guru Maharaj, did Baldev Vidya Bhushan also comment on this name?
Which name?
This one that we used, Nigrodha.
Yeah, I mentioned.
Oh, you mentioned, okay. Sorry.
But briefly, because I just said he gives the same explanation as Parashrabhata.
I noticed that the Swami Narayana people, that they, some of the Sankaracharya people,
they accepted a work done by one of their sannyasis and a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, and accepted them as a school of thought that could comment on Vedanta Sutra, an acceptable school of thought. I was wondering if you've heard any opinions of that, because I'm sure the Gaudiya Vaishnavas and maybe the Sri Sampradaya, maybe, you know, they've never accepted that.
Well, this, from what I understand, Swami Narayan Sampradaya, or whatever you want to call it, their commentary on Vedanta Sutra is new. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they never accepted previously because they didn't have one.
But now they're claiming we do have one.
Now they claim we're a bona fide Sampradaya. Well, even previously, way back, that was that shortly before Prabhupada left or shortly afterward, at Sri Chaitanya Mat, the original Mat of what we now call the Gaudiya Mat, they had a All India Vaishnav Conference, and they invited the Swami Narayan people, and the also in Sri Sampradaya we see this what's his name, Chinnajiya Swami, they get on with everyone. And more or less, Hinduism is all largely merged. I don't see outside of Prabhupada and some of the Gaudiya Mat Swamis that, and some of the Shankarites themselves, they're not in a mood of establishing their own superiority above others. It's more like everyone get together. And I asked a Madhva Swami about this, about one of the most respected, well, I didn't say Visveshwara Tirtha, why does he mix up with all these different people, including us, for that matter? You could say, I didn't say that. And he gave sannyas to Uma Bharati. It's said to have done. When I asked this Madhva Swami, said, no, he didn't, that's misreported. But he definitely had some kind of mix with this female sannyasini politician. Well, I won't say anything more because I could get arrested. But what this Swami told me is that he knows, of course he knows what's what, because he's a Madhva, and they know very clearly what's right and what's wrong to a large extent. But he said he sees the situation of Sanatan Dharma and Hinduism, or whatever you want to call it, it's under attack and threat, and we need to come together. Yeah. And that's very well pointed out by Rajiv Malhotra. More than anyone, he's documented how there's a orchestrated generational attack on quote unquote Hinduism. So now we're getting into politics.
Stephen Nath has also pointed that out pretty vividly on Nandanandana Prabhu with his books.
Yeah. Now, many people are aware, but especially in my estimation, but that is not my central topic of inquiry, but Rajiv Malhotra really did the ultimate study, big, thick book like this. Mm. So that's one outlook. And actually, in Andhra Pradesh, where there's so much conversion to Christianity, more than per capita, more than any state in India, Hindus, they attack each other or fight each other. The Christians, they make currency out of that. See, you're fighting among yourselves. So, not to speak that they have more churches than you could list in a book as big as the Bible. And there's a new one every day, practically. Especially in the South, yeah. You can just go start a church anytime, anywhere. You can just... Anyway, we should bring everyone together to chant Hare Krishna. And another thing is, everyone, all the sampradayas, they all agree, all the Vaishnava sampradayas, even the Mayavadi sampradaya, they'll all agree that for Kali Yuga, Harinam. They'll all agree. Yeah, yeah, it's in Shastra. They all follow Shastra. Whereas things like, there's so many new things like the Sai Babas and the Nityananda Paramahamsas and who knows what, Ammas and Babas and Bappas and Dadas and Didis and all the, they just self-made, who knows what, God-men they're called, or God-women, I guess they call them, or whatever, I don't know what they call them. But the traditional sampradayas, they're committed to Shastra, and that's lost in modern Hinduism, thanks largely to Jato Mot Toto Pot, Ramakrishna Mission. Everything's wonderful, everything's okay, embrace everything. Ever heard that before? New Age.
In the West, they're accepted within the Unity Church, which is also an acceptance of
everything.
Unitarian. Yeah. Yeah, they accept everything. I saw a YouTube video of a sermon by a female preacher in the Unitarian Church, and said, "We're all Hindus now." Did you see that? She said, "We're all Hindus now." She said that, you see, reincarnation seems to be a fact. And she said, "I'm not quite sure myself," but she seemed to, and she asked, "How many of you accept reincarnation?" And a few hands cautiously went up. And she said, it's really nice. They dance and they have fun, and I'm going to go to their Deepavali celebrations next week or something like this. That's one thing we should, that's another whole thing. We should push strongly. Reincarnation is a fact. Reincarnation, it just undermines so many things. And then Christianity, Islam, contemporary materialistic atheism, not Buddhism, which is also atheism, but which believes in reincarnation, but it gives us a head start over. Well, it should knock out the... It's pretty hard to conflate Christianity with reincarnation. I'm sure they could invent some way to do it, but it's pretty hard, seeing there's the whole basis is you're only born once, and or you can be born again, right? But then you either go to heaven or hell, and that's it. Well, what's traditionally been understood as Christianity doesn't fit with reincarnation at all, so it gives us a head start. But that's something. That could even bring all the ISKCON members together, because at least one thing we all agree on. I hope. But even in Buddhism now, in the West, they're Western Buddhists. They say, "We like Buddhism, but we don't believe in reincarnation." Why? I guess because they're Westerners. Yeah, come on, they're Westerners. They don't believe in reincarnation. It's you can't imagine not believing in reincarnation, but they just can't accept it. And somehow they're Buddhists, because they tell you it's a nice moral system. All this. So, you never know.
But I seem
there,
to
there
recall...
Might be some,
oh, sorry.
There might be some ISKCON members who wants to... Who wants to make the newest, the next controversy? We don't have enough in ISKCON yet, do we?
No.
So we need a new one. When Krishna said Dehino Sminyataye, hey, he didn't really mean it. He meant something else, right? It's quite possible. You never know. Yeah, what were you going to say?
I just vaguely remember something. Someone did a study of, the Old Testament, and there are some references where Abraham is, somebody's come back from this purity.
Well, right in the New Testament, there's about John the Baptist, right? Some people say he's Elijah.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
It seems to point to reincarnation,
doesn't it?
Yes.
And Satyaraj Prabhu, years ago, brought out a book, which I don't think he republished, called You Mean That's in the Bible? And he gave several references to reincarnation, vegetarianism, and explained how... It's so many things. It's a good book. You have that? That's good, yeah. That's a good thing to have.
You mean that's in the Bible?
I'll show it to you.
I'll show
you.
It's an unorthodox interpretation.
But after that book, he published Reincarnation Controversy.
Uh-huh, yeah. But yeah. And he gave from... Is even from Islam, but he really had to squeeze out to try and find something in Sufism, which is not accepted really, although huge numbers of Muslims identify as Sufis or followers of Sufism, but it's not accepted as real Islam by the people who think they are the real Islam, whatever that means. Well, they think, and then the Shias think that. Well,
what about the Granta with the Sikhs? Because Prabhupada actually in Atlanta told one boy, "You're fortunate; you have a bona fide guru."
Yeah, he did, didn't
and,
he?
And said, "Study the Granta, read Bhagavad Gita, and chant Hari Rama." Those are his exact instructions. So, is there that they have that in reincarnation?
Reincarnation, I haven't studied it, but it, even if it's not stated, it would be understood. Because, after all, Guru Granta Sahib, it's a collection of previous things. And there's a lot of Ram Bhakti in there, chant the names, and Krishna Bhakti, Krishna and the Yamuna, and all this.
I heard that they say, some, I can't remember who, but that Guru Nainak might have had some association with some of the...
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
There is Nityananda, I think.
Something is said like that, yes. But it's...
I don't know if it's bona fide.
Considered, yeah. Not clear, not sure. There's some say Guru Nanak went to Puri and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, something like that. Maybe or may not be. What do we know?
Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada interrupted his translation of Bhagavatam to give us Chaitanya Charitamrita. How do you see that as significant in this overall discussion on all these different denominations and the Shastras? What do you feel was Srila Prabhupada's intention?
I don't really understand the question as relates to denominations and this and that.
Well, in India, you were saying how different denominations or different religious organizations, they accept Bhagavatam. Do they accept Chaitanya Charitamrita?
No. Outside of Gauriya's, no one accepts it as...
Really?
No one accepts it as an authoritative work. Hmm. It's in Bengali, for a start. It's not in Sanskrit. Only Gauriya is accepted.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't know that.
Aren't we the lucky ones?
That's what Srila Prabhupada said. People will learn Bengali to read Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Why would they do that if it's translated? Why would people learn Bengali to read Chaitanya Charitamrita when if someone sooner or later is going to translate it? So?
Why? Because some people like the beauty of language.
Ah, exactly. Yeah. I learned Bengali because at one point I realized when I was singing this Tulsi Arati, we were singing in Calcutta, ISKCON Temple, I realized I understood all the words. And I'm in Bengal, so when I learn Bengali, then I can have more access to it. And there is a sweetness even though you get the translation, but there is a sweetness in the original Bengali, which is, you just, it's non-reproducible in English, or even in Hindi for that matter. Hare Krishna, you're going to make an...
Dina Bandhu makes the point that, yes, everybody learns Bengali and sings, but when you go before a big Indian audience, they want to hear the Hindi bhajan, so he learned Hindi, and he says, so, you know, they really appreciate when he sings Hindi songs.
Yeah, yeah. Srila Prabhupada also said in Vrindavan not to sing songs that the local people can't understand, so that you could sing Nam Kirtan just like you sing here, Yashomati Nandana, maybe to some extent they can understand, because it's Nam Kirtan. But songs like Amar Jibon Sada Kama Rata, actually if you're not good Hindi, you could follow it to some extent, but anyway, even the Yashomati Nandana, people, what do they, it's surprising how little people know anything about anything in India nowadays. About 10 years ago, I was giving a talk in South Gujarat, Hindi talk, and I was discussing about the public talk. I was talking about the three modes of nature, how we have to transcend the three modes of nature. And then afterwards, one of my disciples said that, he more or less said, you're a generation out of touch, because people nowadays, they never heard of the three modes of nature. In South India, if you go to Tamil Nadu and talk about Ramanuja, oh yeah, we know Ramanuja, the mathematician. They literally, well maybe now, because that TV serial was made, otherwise they didn't know Ramanuja.
The value of TV series.
Yeah.
What about the Gujaratis? They all, every motel has a Tulsi. And I've been in situations where I start singing some of the song and they seem to...
Where, in Gujarat or here?
Here in America.
In southern, maybe, because in north...
But they all have their Tulsis.
Yeah, that's good.
So
something is going on. They don't know why. And they're eating meat.
Yeah.
And drinking alcohol, but somehow or other they're keeping Tulsi. There's some Krishna's inspiring them with something to hang on to somewhere.
So in Krishna Balaram, when they do Tulsi Puja, they sing in Bengali?
They could be. They had to be shown the words. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.